The Africa Law Tech podcast explores the latest in law technology and entrepreneurship in the African continent. This weekly podcast is brought to you by the Lawyers Hub, a law tech organization working on digital policy and justice innovation in Africa. To find out more, visit lawyershub.org or email us on info@lawyershub.ke.
Welcome to the very first episode of the Africa Law Tech podcast. My name is Linda Bonyo. I am the founder and CEO at the Lawyers Hub. And today we talk about open internet. With me is Boniface Mwangi and Benga Sesan. Boniface Mwangi is an activist based in Nairobi, Kenya, and also the founder of Power 254, creatives using the power of creativity to agitate for change. And also with us is Benga Sesan. He is executive director at Paradigm Initiative.
Thank you, Linda. My name is Benga Sesan. I am with Paradigm Initiative, and it's great to be here. Paradigm Initiative is a social enterprise headquartered and started in Nigeria in 2007, but now a Pan-African organization. We work in digital rights, which is tech policy to make sure that the internet is safe, open, and rid of governments who want to punish people for doing what they should do anyway. And we also work in digital inclusion, which is basically to connect young Africans with opportunities through technology. Like I said, we started in 2007, and now as a regional organization with offices in six countries. And I have a privilege of leading that institution right now.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. And I'm going to introduce our second guest, who is Boniface Mwangi. Boni, would you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. My name is Boniface Mwangi, and I'm a photographer and an activist and an addicted social media user. And I train activists in the region, so I understand the challenges of using the internet beyond our borders, from Uganda, the Turks, to Tanzania, where they, even right now, they just got the internet restored after Magufuli died and Sulu took over, and Ethiopia, where it's cut off, and Rwanda, where you can't say things even if you have the internet. So I train people how to navigate that space and use outside people, be able to use the other country to say what you want to say. So if someone is abducted in Tanzania, Tanzania is going to let Kenyans say these things, instead of Tanzanians saying those things. So it comes from Kenya, then goes back to Tanzania. When Bobi Wine was arrested in Uganda, it was Kenyans demanding for him to be released, and he was released.
So I think I'm going to ask you, Benga, what is open internet, and what does that mean for Nigeria now?
Yeah, thanks, Linda. I mean, so I think the internet itself, and allow me to speak as an engineer, for a moment. In the design of the internet itself, as we all know, the only reason why we have an internet is because there is an international network of networks, of different networks. So the original design of the internet is not one where there will be walled gardens. Originally, the design was for people to freely share information and for it not to be controlled as something, owned by any group or nation or individuals, or to be restrictive. So when we do say open internet, and this is what I say all the time, when we do say open internet, it's almost, tautology in itself. But the basic idea of an open internet is a platform where you can use for the intended purpose that you came there for. You can use it and not worry about any form of restrictions. And there are many forms of restrictions that we've seen now. There are restrictions after use. So you can use the platform and then you get questioned. Many African countries, of course, including Nigeria, have, perfected the act of using, laws that are supposed to solve problems threaten dissenting voices, like cybercrime laws, for example. Have been used, across many countries to punish people who say things, including things that are critical of government, which is their right in the first place. So the whole concept of an open internet is on many levels. One is infrastructure-wise. In terms of infrastructure, the internet is supposed to be an open space that anyone and everyone can connect to provide services. And you can already begin to tell that there are people that don't like the idea of open because they want a closed internet. Some examples like countries like China. Some examples like companies like tech platforms that prefer to see themselves as the internet and not so if you click on some platforms, for example, they will warn you before you leave the platform to say that where you're going may be a dangerous place. Trust me, it's actually not dangerous. What is dangerous is you staying within that confined walled garden itself. So that's in terms of infrastructure, but also in terms of policy. The internet is supposed to be an open space where no individual, no nation, no people group can lay claim to you to say this is ours. So for example, we know that the first 13 original nodes that led to what is called the internet today is sort of started from somewhere within North America and Europe. But if they were to isolate even those 13 nodes today, they wouldn't be the internet. They could be an intranet within a country, but the internet itself is an open network of networks. And the last that I want to speak about in terms of openness for the internet is in terms of its utility. The internet is a platform that anyone can use, to provide services, to receive services without any form of restriction. Unfortunately, there are so many restrictions that we have today. As I speak to you, some of you may be aware that I am on Twitter. According to some people in government in Nigeria, I'm actually doing something illegal by being on Twitter because I'm using a VPN. But that obviously is a very silly thing for anyone to say. It was a chief law officer in Nigeria, the Attorney General, who said, that if you use a VPN to access Twitter because it has been suspended in the country and blocked by ISPs and telecom companies, if you use a VPN, you're committing a crime and you'll be arrested. But of course, because I believe in the concept of the open internet, for utility and others, we clearly stated, some of us have stated, that we will continue to use Twitter, not only because we chose to, but because we believe it is not illegal. It is an open platform. It could be Twitter, it could be anything, but whatever we choose to utilize on the internet, typically it is an application. It is not a fraction of internet service, just an application that rides on the internet. So the open internet is the real expression of the original intent of why and how the internet was designed to be free, to be open, and for people to utilize for the purposes that they want without restrictions.
Thank you very much, Benga, for that. And so I really like the first part of, your comments. So I think we're going to talk to Boni now and find out, like, Boniface, what's your experience online? Have you been harassed online before by government? In what ways do you think that African governments actually are not, working towards open internet from your understanding?
So my experience is totally different from censorship. There was an attempt of censorship on my end a couple of years ago where I did a tweet, and then I was sued by, first I was given a letter by the deputy president saying that I should delete my tweet. And if I don't, he's going to go to court. So I told him to go to court. We're still in court 4 years later. But I think the biggest form of censorship that comes is forced self-censorship, where the government makes you doubt what you're saying, if it's true, or they make you think that you're crazy. So you might be very consistent in calling out the government, and then they become very consistent in putting people on a payroll to just troll you every single day and make you think that you're mad, to a level where you start thinking and doubting why are you doing what you're doing. And then the second level of censorship is actually just harassment that doesn't end up anywhere. There's some of the guys that I want to mention on this call, the reason why they end up in court all the time, sometimes they get things right, but they also use the platform to blackmail people. But they also play a very necessary role in highlighting issues. So our Kenyan government is not very keen at this particular stage to shut down the internet because it serves their purpose. But what I foresee in the coming election, if it serves their purpose to have it off, they'll have it off. During the last election, after there was a when Raila Odinga saw himself, the government shut down TV stations for a while. So what stops them if they can't have their way with BBI? And if they realize when you tax us and you can still pay the tax for the internet tax, what is stopping them from actually shutting down the internet? So the Kenyan challenge is actually very unique, that our government, because of the freedoms we have in the Constitution, our government responds to the freedom of speech and expression and our freedom of views of the internet and the free internet. Our government response is actually employing trolls to ensure that when you say things, they respond to you to a level where they have labeled the truth sayers in our in the society, and the people speak truth to power. They are seen to be mad. They actually there's a way they have made it look like that truth is hate. So when you say something that is very truthful, the response is the government makes you think that what you're saying is very hateful to a level where every single day you have to think and think and go through that tweet or that post on Instagram or Facebook before you put it out, because you know very well the first 10 or 20 responses is actually government trolls paid by your taxes to make you look like you're mad. So that is my experience. But my experience beyond our borders is actually that Tanzania is worse, Uganda is worse, Ethiopia is worse, Rwanda is worse. And so what we need to learn from those countries, actually, we as Kenyans must defend this space and use every, I think we shouldn't charge, the government shouldn't charge us for freedom of expression. And so internet tax is actually charging us for expressing or exercising our freedom of expression.
So Benga, we asked about open internet, and in Nigeria now, you don't have, Twitter in Nigeria. How has that impacted businesses?
Yeah, so I think there are two sides to that. One is the fact that there are businesses that are still online using VPN, but honestly, there is a major impact for restrictions. It means that there are people who are really scared for their licenses or for their businesses and don't want to get into trouble, so they stay offline. So I think the biggest hit actually has been on small businesses who depend on, social media campaigns for big companies. And many of these big companies don't want to run afoul of the law. So they've canceled Twitter-specific campaigns. They're now focusing on Facebook and other platforms. And like you said earlier, Twitter is very specific in its impact, in the sense that it engenders, a lot of conversations around issues. Training topics are able to move very quickly and things like that. The other people, by the way, and this is ironic, who are missing a lot because of a Twitter ban is the government. And I think this is really important for the discussions around the open internet, that dictators and people who restrict the civic space are always at the receiving end of their own tyranny. The government shut down and said to ISPs and telcos, shut down Twitter access. But now the government itself has gone to, a platform called Ku, an Indian, equivalent, the Indian equivalent of Twitter. And the reality is that they're in a silo, talking to themselves, because they say these things on Ku, screenshot it, and then send it to WhatsApp so that other people can see it. Meanwhile, the large following that they had built on Twitter, they can't tweet because, of course, they already put their foot in their mouth, saying that, Twitter is illegal in Nigeria. So right now, there are a lot of people that are even saying that Twitter in Nigeria is a lot saner right now, because there are no politicians or government officials or government apologists or trolls who are lying or trying to chase people and things like that. But the challenge is that there is always a cost, and the cost is not only economic. So if you look at the cost of shutdown tool by the Brookings Institution and other partners, you will see that every hour that Twitter is shut down in Nigeria specifically, the country loses $250,000 in its economy. And don't forget, there's context to this. Nigeria was in a recession. There were two sectors that got Nigeria out of recession: the ICT sector and the agriculture sector. So now that the ICT sector is taking a hit based on this policy, there's another policy of government, by the way, around SIM registration and linking that to your national ID that is also affecting the sector. So it means there's an economic cost. There's a reputation cost also, because I mean, the irony is that Nigeria celebrated Democracy Day on June 12th, exactly a week after after Twitter was shut down. So there's that in terms of reputational risk. But there's also the fact that This is not just about Twitter. And I'm always very careful to say this, that in any of the countries, in Uganda, when there's a taxation, in Kenya, when there's a new tax, in Tanzania, where, you know, there's a new law, in Nigeria, where there's a suspension like this, in Ethiopia, where there's a blanket set of arrests, it is not about those platforms or those individuals. It is about an agenda of government to be in charge, to control, and to close the civic space for many reasons. Don't forget that many of these governments understand and use social media themselves. So they know that it is a platform that can be used by citizens or opposition, you know, to clearly express dissent. And I think this is one of the reasons why it's important when things like this happen for us to know that it is not just about Twitter. It is about an agenda to close the civic space. And, you know, if it starts with Twitter and, you know, as it is said, it started with Twitter, you don't complain. One day you will want to turn on Instagram to post a picture of the meal you just prepared. And it will say no connection simply because it's election time and a particular person wants to perpetuate him or herself in power and do not want you to have internet access. So I think it's really important for us to understand the context of this is not just about the platforms, but also it's about, you know, the closure of the civic space. And that's why it's important that we continue. You know, in Nigeria, a few of us, myself and a few other people put out a statement immediately titled, "We will keep tweeting." And that was a dare on, you know, to the government to say that, do your worst and arrest us, you know, organizations, individuals. And just in case they didn't see the online, you know, announcement, we put it in two major newspapers that we knew they would buy, the popular ones, just to basically extend this conversation and say that when governments run mad, citizens are the ones that can call them to order.
Thank you so much, Benga, for that. And it's really interesting to hear what's happening in Nigeria. And sometimes we listen to these stories and think that can't be us, you know. But slowly government sees that they are losing grip of, you know, conversations, you know. And this, you know, they had the grip on offline conversations, but now online conversations, they feel like really we just don't have any control. So I will take the last comments from Boni and Benga. So let me start with Benga and then we go to Boni. What are your closing remarks? What can we do? What's the call to action?
Let me speak to five key things. Three of them are related to the work we do at Part of Initiative, and I'll start with those. The first is we need to keep ourselves abreast of what's going on. I think one of the major tools of oppression is ignorance. And the advantage, by the way, of all of these different acts across different countries on the continent of Africa is that citizens are now very aware. We, you know, publish an annual report called Lunda. Lunda is a Zulu word that means protect. And for this year, across the 20 countries that we did the study in, it was very clear that certain trends are being repeated. People are borrowing bad ideas from each other. So it's important for you to keep yourself, you know, find out what's going on. It's lunda.africa, L-O-N-D-A.africa, Africa with a C. You know, find out information about what's happening in your country. If you're in Kenya, if you are in Zimbabwe, if you are in Ghana, wherever you are, find out information about what's going on so that you don't keep saying it can't happen to us. There are signs that you can see. I mean, we knew, for example, that this could happen in Nigeria. We know what can happen, you know. So everyone is excited about Tanzania right now because of the changes. But, you know, our take from the trends of the things that we see is that as long as the laws remain unchanged, even good people will behave like dictators. And that's it. We've seen that in Gambia. Everyone got excited that the dictator was booted out. But, you know, things kept happening because the laws are the laws. And even good people will have people around them that will abuse them. Same thing with Ethiopia and same thing with Tanzania right now. So it's good to keep yourself updated on what's going on so you can see the trends. That's one. Second is something that we've, you know, that both Boniface and Linda and others have talked about today. Please protect yourself online. What we did over the last 16 months was to put together, well, until December last year, was to put together sort of a toolkit on digital rights called AYETA. That's A-Y-E-T-A. That's a Yoruba word that means bulletproof. And what that does is it brings together a lot of resources you can use, VPNs, proxy, passwords, what you need to know to stay safe online. So get informed. Secondly, stay safe. You can get access to that toolkit with games and all on ayeta.africa, ayeta.africa. And the third thing, which I encourage people to do, is please don't keep quiet when you see violations. Report them. One of the challenges we have and why impunity continues is because we don't challenge violations. So that's why Ripoti, everyone who speaks Swahili knows Ripoti, of course, means report, R-I-P-O-T-I, Ripoti.Africa is a platform where you can report. There are 24 organizations behind this. So chances are that the country where you're reporting from, there is a, there's an organization that can pick up the case, and you can follow the process from when you've reported it to when you've been able to seek redress. The fourth thing, so yes, pay attention to what's happening around you, get information. Londa.Africa, Ayeta.Africa, protect yourself, Ripoti.Africa, make sure that, you report incidents and, violations. But beyond that, collaboration. We need to work a lot more together. One of the things that I've learned in the few years, well, not so few though, years I've worked in digital rights, is the fact that there are so many things that you think are unique to your country, but they are not. They actually have happened exactly the same way in another country. So when you collaborate, when you work across different silos with other people, you realize that some of the problems you have right now are actually problems others have had before, and you can be able, to take care of that. But the last, which I think even maybe, the most important, is for us to be able to share information about the things that we learn. So we've had this conversation tonight. I encourage everyone, if you've picked up something you think is interesting, share it. Somebody may just be able to retreat to 10,000, 20,000, 100,000 plus people, because the more we share information, the more we increase the volume of our voice in defense of rights, the more we will be able to silence, tyranny and others who are against open and free internet. It's been an interesting conversation, and I trust that as we continue to learn more, as we continue to protect ourselves, as we continue to report, as we continue to work together, and as we continue to amplify each other's work, we will build, an Africa that is less focused on clampdown, but more focused on innovation. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Benga, for your, coming on here, the discussions we've had, and I hope to someday get to know how to pronounce your second name. And we go to Boniface. What's your parting shot?
So mine is very simple. Is we need more whistleblowers in our generation. We need guys who work in those government offices, in Treasury, in Office of the President, at State House, wherever they work and serve these crooks in power. When you come across some piece of information that could actually help the country, it is your patriotic duty to steal that information and share with everyone else. So we might not know what the government is planning to do next year. We might not know what the government is planning to do with these coalitions and alliances and how that will affect our lives. But what we know, if you have access to that information, when you blow the whistle, you slow them down and they have to re-strategize.
This podcast is made possible by the generous giving of our partners at the Africa Law Tech Festival. These partners include Safaricom, Omidia Network, International Commission of Jurists Kenya, Amnesty International Kenya, Internews, Mozilla Foundation, CIPESA, and the support of the Government of Kenya at the Africa Law Tech Festival. We thank you, and we hope that you enjoyed this podcast.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Africa Law Tech Podcast. Make sure to follow us on Spotify and share this podcast with your friends. This podcast is hosted by The Lawyers Hub. The Lawyers Hub works on digital policy and legal innovation. To find out more about The Lawyers Hub, kindly visit lawyershub.org and africalawtech.com.